Yeah. I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new tracks for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Derek, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act school. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right to it. What the fuck, podcast ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah. About to turn it over to my man old school with the what the fuck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to whatthebuck.net. I am Derek Old School Fournier, coming to you live from Studio 76 here in lovely Valrico, Florida. We're getting used to the new setup. We got people in the studio. I'm going to help open up the chat window right now in Mixler. I would encourage you guys to tweet this out. I also need feedback on levels because we've got four mics active right now. So this is a little bit new. We haven't had in a while. We got some beer going. Hopefully the levels are good and you guys can all hear. So a little bit of housekeeping before we introduce everyone who's here. I am punctual. Fuck you. I'm just kidding, Brent. I love you. I want to thank our normal supporters, our normal sponsors, and I know that Justin Pulowski, who's with us here tonight from Bucks Uncensored, got his sponsors. He'll be kissing their ass the way I do mine on his show on Saturday.
You mean licking.
Licking, whatever it takes, man. Steps Towing, Pepin Distributing, Tito's Vodka, Steakhouse Elite, all those guys are in and locked down, and we love them. We posted the tailgate themes today, and guys, this is particularly important. It's interesting. They say I seem a little far away from the mic. Is that any better, folks, or am I getting extra bad levels? There we go. We'll be fine. We'll figure it out. I don't know what's going on. I think. Oh, that's what it is. I hate XLR cables. All right. We put out the tailgate themes today, so you guys should have gotten all the tailgate themes. That has been posted by Cheryl. For the tailgates for the rest of the season, they're out there. We're also putting the collections out there as well. So what you guys know about is... This is a headphone issue or something. Sorry, guys.
What's going on here?
I know, this is terrible.
I'm confused.
We need to unify the microphones.
Unify the microphones.
We're going to check this out. All right, that's my mic, fine. And we're back. We get all of them on there and everything's crazy. All right, there we go. We'll do the best we can. You guys are going to help us. Yeah, Spent, we're doing the best we can. I don't know what's going on. We got four mics going. We're doing the best we can. So we've put the tailgate themes out. So everyone knows what's going on. We got the collections going on. And in the studio tonight, we have some special things going on. We have from the Buckaholics, Keith Larson, who drove all the way down from Tallahassee to be here tonight. Keith, how are you doing?
Good. How you guys doing tonight? Glad to be here.
I love that the host mic is fucked and your mic sounds great. This is just absolutely crazy.
You sure that's not my voice?
No, it's not your voice. You're an asshole. And we've got across the table from me, Justin Pulowski, who needs almost no introduction for Bucks Uncensored. But Justin, welcome tonight.
I force people to call me the commish. That's because I'm pompous.
Your pompousness has preceded you for sure.
Yes,
fair and just.
It is awesome to be with you guys and excited about this upcoming season.
And to my right, we've got Christian from Headlines Barbershop, one of the captains of the Stick Carriers. Welcome tonight. How are you doing tonight, Christian?
Doing phenomenal. Happy to be here. I mean, this is crazy. I'm in the What the Buck studio. This is legendary.
It really is, actually.
Well,
it
really is. I know. So we've got some feedback that, God damn it, my mic is pissing me off so bad, guys. I apologize for this technical snafu. We shouldn't have drank so much beer beforehand. We should have done more mic checks. Keith, you're going to have to swallow your mic a little bit. But
he's used to that.
He is. There's a couple
of
things.
The gag reflexes right here, though.
Like you have a gag reflex.
Don't need one here.
The reason we are here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we've tweeted about it, we've been subtle, we've done less subtle things. There's been this groundswell in Bucks fandom, and it's been building, right? All you guys who listen to this podcast, who listen to Justin's podcast, who are Buckaholics out in the middle of freaking nowhere, you've all been Buck fans for a long time. You're all rabid. You've all got the jerseys. You've got the crazy tchotchkes. You've been to the games. You've gone to away games. You've done all the things. Hell, some of you tailgated with us. You've listened to Justin when he was on a radio station that we won't name because we don't like him very much.
Yeah.
But what happened is people gravitated to these groups. We had What the Buck, we had the Buckaholics, and then the Stick Carriers splashed onto the scene recently. And so all of this discussion was going on. You guys remember videos about there was well, who's the biggest fan and who's the best fan base and who's this other shit? And what's funny is the people behind the scenes who are in this room right now, by and large, didn't give a fuck about any of that. All we wanted to do was come together. And so the Stick Carrier takeover of training camp, which went incredibly well. You guys saw the videos from everyone from me to Hard Knocks to the local stations. Everyone covered the damn thing. Was great. And we got together and I got a chance to meet the other captains of the Stick Carriers, right? Because there was some trepidation, Justin, you know that. There was some trepidation about the Stick Carriers because you guys were new and we didn't know what was going on.
Well, and I think, too, and let's just squash some of the rumors, and membership fees, doing this just for money. I think we've all sat here for the last 2 hours before. This is about doing something good for Bucks fans, and this is about doing something good for the community. And, you know, that's been my focus all along. Derek, I wouldn't wear this attire if I didn't have a good career. I was in radio for 12, 13 years. I wore shorts and sandals for the last 13 years. You think I want to wear business attire every day? I've got a good career. I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this because I channeled my inner 12-year-old, and I want to build an environment inside Raymond James Stadium like none of us have ever experienced before. And I really think that we can do that, but the only way we can do that is together.
You know, the togetherness is really the key here. And, you know, it's funny with what we're talking about tonight and we've got 50 people live listening. I think our limit is 100, but if it's not 100, I should go back there and fix it while someone else talks for a while because you guys have brought a tremendous juice. That's the term I use for you guys. You know, so we'll do a little bit of a history lesson for the folks who don't know the history lesson, right? Because I got a chance to meet the Buckaholics out in Arizona. You guys blew up. Right, you guys were out there. You were misplaced, displaced fans all around. You found brotherhood, fraternity, and that's a word that's going to come across a lot tonight, people, is fraternity. I met you guys in Arizona. You guys took over San Diego, and you blew up, right? Now, tell us a little bit about the Stick Carriers, Keith.
About the Stick Carriers?
Yeah, I'm sorry, about the Buckaholics. I apologize. And get in on that microphone. If you need to move the pop filter, move it. You're fine.
Let's get in here on this microphone a little deeper. Are you live?
Buckaholics is basically, it's a group of fans who were displaced.
We're live on
Yeah, move the pop filter and just get in the microphone. You're good.
We're on the Stick Carrier Facebook page.
We're on the Stick Carrier.
We're simulcast.
Basically, the Buckaholics are just a bunch of fans who were displaced from the Bay Area and wanted to find a place that they could congregate and, you know, watch the game, show their love for the Bucks. And it kind of grew organically to the point where they decided to go ahead and let's go check out a game. Let's put the event together. Let's have a tailgate. Let's see if we can make an impact at another team's stadium. That started with Arizona about 2 years ago, and it went over so well that they decided to really put some forethought into it and plan the San Diego Charger invasion.
Which was amazing.
Yep, and absolutely.
That ended up being what sold me on getting involved with the Buckaholics as that turned into just being something where a bunch of people were selling T-shirts and stickers to fund the tailgate, and it's morphed into something that's bigger than any of the people who started could imagine. And now it's turned into more of a thing where we get to do what we want as far as watch football, support the Buccaneers, and have this ability to make enough money that we can give back to the community. And
you guys gave back to the community, at least with us in our golf tournament, to the tune of $2,500.
Yeah. Well,
which was pretty stupendous.
That was a privilege. And I was fortunate enough to be able to participate in the tournament. Yep. So, the way the tournament was played out and the way that we got involved with that, that's what sold me on the fact that, this is the right thing to do. And this is something that we can do what we love, be fans, watch yep. football, tailgate, drink beer, eat a lot of food, and now we have the opportunity to give back to the fans, give back to the community, give back to the team. And now that we've got this gentleman over here, Justin, we'll point the camera at him right now, this guy, he's been able to mobilize the local fan base. And if anybody didn't catch what happened at training camp when they took over, Go look it up. It was one of the most amazing things that we've seen. So now we have the ability, or we have the privilege, I should say, to join Derek and the What the Buck crew and Justin and the Stick Carriers and do our best to, should we say, are we going to say take it back? Or?
Well, I mean, Justin, you're the one who should time out that theme because it starts this Saturday with taking back Ray J a little bit, right? So tell them a little bit about that and tell them a little bit about what the Stick Carriers, your vision for this, because it's not about, and I want to prime the pump a little bit for you because this is one of the misnomers. I think Joe Bucks Fan actually had an article
today. Always good to prime the pump before you actually pump it.
Listen, I usually prime a lot and then, yeah.
Then there's no pumping. There's no pumping. I know. Trust me. So, I know.
But the dream is
a fake laugh.
That we get enough of this activity, this groundswell of activity, that labels don't matter, right? Like we said before, it's ice cream. We've got podcasts. We've got shirts. We've got logos. We've got everything. We're Bucks fans, first and foremost, right? What is the dream you have for the Stick Carriers, this group that you've built organically and has grown and gotten its own legs? We got Christian here, too. Tell folks a little bit about what your vision is for the Stick Carriers.
Hold on. Let me turn the camera around. So
Christian's going to hit his microphone 15 more times.
My bad.
Well, he's not. He's just not used to it. I got it.
When they say swallow the mic, they don't mean put it in your mouth.
Well,
listen, I'm a barber, okay? You guys want some fades? You want some Bucks flies in your head? I can do that. I'm not that great on radio.
Oh, I swear to God, if you hit that thing,
I'm
done. One
more time. I talk with my hands.
I'm going to shove that deeper down your throat.
Okay.
All right, so here's the deal. The first thing I have pushed on my end is we are stronger together. And together is all caps. Stronger together in numbers. You know, it's one thing when you have 100 people together or 200 people together. But when I showed up on our Stick Carrier training camp takeover day, and Old School, you were there, and I told you, and I've said it on my podcast several times, I was hoping, and Christian, we talked about it the night before. We had people in from 11 different, 10 different states and one other country.
Panama.
In for that takeover, which probably should have told me that it was going to be a special day. And so we went out the night before, and we're sitting there, and we were talking. We were just hoping for 300 people to show up. 300. And then you show up, and there's 300 people there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
When I was running 15, 20 minutes behind, and I got a phone call from you, you need to get down here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here. How many? Just get down here.
Yeah,
this is insane.
Things were happening.
It's escalating really fast.
6:30 is 500 people. By 7 o'clock, there's 1,000 people in line, and that was only one side. The other side was full too.
Listen, so they opened the parking lot early, guys. Like they literally, we were backed out to MLK. We were blocking traffic. They didn't open the parking lot. What was it? 7:30? They had to open the parking lot at 7 a.m. to let us in.
So, at that point, I knew. All right. We've got something special, but it's not what I need it to be. It's not what I want it to be. And I knew it wasn't what Old School wanted. And I knew the Buckaholics all across the nation have been yearning for something like this. And, you know, it's funny because we're located in Tampa and you hear so much about the Buckaholics out west and in other places, but why aren't we hearing enough about the Buckaholics here in Tampa? And that's where Keith is trying to really grow this. But it's not about growing his group or the Stick Carriers or What the Buck. It's about growing a fan base together that is going to take back our stadium. You know, when our head coach has to come out after, or actually, was it before or after one of the games last year?
It was before.
And say he's sick and tired of opposing teams' fans showing up and taking up the lower bowl, that's embarrassing. And it's not that we have a responsibility upon ourselves. It's like for the people like me, like Christian, like Old School, like Keith, we're all season ticket holders. We're all fans. We're already going to the games. But how can we take the passion that each of us has and bring it together? Because as I said, stronger together in numbers. How can we do that? And I think we're doing that with the Stick Carriers. We're doing that with What the Buck. We're doing that with the Buckaholics. But the only way that we can have success, Old School, is what? We bring it
together.
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 That's what we're doing, right?
So together's the theme word.
You know, we joked around about it. It's like the United Nations of Bucks fans. right? Literally, these guys came down. So Keith came all the way down from Tallahassee. We got together between 6:30 and 7. These guys are a little bit more local, but we're over at my house in Valrico. I cooked up 7,000 pounds of food because we're carnivores. We sat out there. We ate. We're drinking some delicious IPA, some High Life, good stuff. And we've been talking about how this can grow, how this can get better, how this can be. And I just see KRS in the chat room just said family, right? You know, we joke around all the time about the tailgate that we've been doing for years, right? Being the family reunion with family you haven't met yet. And when we talk about the Bucks fans that we've met, a lot of times we wouldn't be necessarily friends with these folks, not because they're bad people, but we don't have the same walk of life. But all of a sudden, we've got this unifying factor in this team that we love. Listen, football is a sport. It's fun. We enjoy it. We avoid things we don't want to talk about to go do sports, right? It's an evasive technique. And Justin, we were talking about this earlier. One of the things the NFL has done an absolutely shit job of is they try to compete directly with the home experience. We've never believed that that's where it starts. It doesn't start at kickoff. It starts before that. So when you think about this uniting of the fan base, first, I would like to say it never really had to happen because we were already united. So this is just a codification of this uniting process. This is us like all acknowledging, oh, fuck, you guys are pretty badass too. We all root for the same team. Let's go do some cool stuff. Right, that wasn't Christian. That was Justin this time.
I have big feet.
I've heard that. But what's funny is what we're going to talk about tonight is we've all been fans for a long time. There's no fan dick measuring going on here, guys. If you're a fan, you're a fan. You're all welcome.
God, I hope there's not dick measuring.
No, listen, it's very cold in this room. I keep the house like 72
cold,
degrees.
Very cold in
it
here.
It would not be impressive.
Very, yeah.
No comment.
Keith says no comment.
I am of Dominican descent.
Okay. All right. Listen, we don't need
Dominican. We don't need you around here bragging.
Okay. I'm of Polish descent.
But one of the things we talked about tonight was tailgating. Now, when you think about stick carrier evolution, and we talked about it, so these guys are screaming and yelling and cheering, and I got Christian in one ear, I got Harold in the other ear, I got Justin, he's over there organizing everyone, and they're talking about tailgating. And I had heard Justin say, let's talk about tailgating. Well, this is one of those areas where we think we do a pretty good job, right? We got a Hall of Fame tailgate in Tampa Bay. While the team was getting their teeth kicked in for the better part of a decade, we kept growing. And we said, this is silly. Why are we reinventing the wheel? Let's get this shit together. Let's come together and have one tailgate. There's all of this opportunity. You guys know us as a charitable organization. We do the things we do. All of a sudden, we go from a 300 to a 700 person tailgate to a 600 to a 1400 person tailgate. All of it gets better. Better what? Together. And then some of the vision that the stick carriers had from Justin's approach towards this sort of collegial atmosphere started to come to light. Now, I'll paint some of the picture, Justin. I don't want to steal your thunder. I want you to paint some of the picture. But if you guys have been to the tailgate at Ohio Street.
Yeah, for people that haven't been, yeah. I mean, you can kind of paint the picture and then I'll kind of take it.
Perfect. So where our tailgate is, if you've been to One Buck Place, it's directly across Ohio Street. So Ohio Street runs parallel to MLK, right? So across, headed directly south.
I guess we should maybe start by saying, yes, we are uniting the fan base. We are going to have a tailgate. The stick carriers are going to join What the Buck, and it's going to be one gigantic party before every single home Bucks game.
So it's official now.
It's official.
It's
official.
Out of the
we
bag.
We should go ahead and make
it's
that
out of the
official.
Bag.
Yeah, it's out of the
yes!
Bag.
Yes! Yes! I'm so fired up. Christian's fired up. Keith is fired up. He's fired
hey, don't get me started. B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucks!
We got clipping and everything on the mics. This is all terrible. I hope
Crazy.
Everyone's okay.
Crazy.
It's so great. We need a Cape Chicken over here.
okay. So, paint the picture, tailgate.
Paint the picture.
And then so Justin will take over what we're
so
doing
afterwards.
So
it's official now.
It's official. Official. It's official. And it's funny. We were joking around beforehand. We've always been an open tailgate. This is just the absolute unification. Everyone's going to be there. So where we are is on Ohio Street. And if you got Google Maps up, look due south of One Buck Place, private lot, large lot. We've got everything you can imagine for a tailgate. We've got men's and women's restrooms. We've got power. We have food. We have beer. We're bringing some of our forces together to bring more food, more fear, more beer. Now, the way this is going to work and the way this gets even better, the way it becomes what we're calling tailgating evolved, is by everyone understanding the rules of engagement. This is a donation-driven tailgate. We don't charge. We don't have tickets. We don't have any of that bullshit. We are all grown folk here, all right? All of our net profit from the tailgate goes to charities. You can see those on every one of the events. There's no question about it. You can see all that. If you have any questions, you can ask any of us, and we'll tell you. When you go to the registration desk, we're going to ask for your ID. If you left your ID at home, you're not drinking, guys. That's the way it works.
What?
Bring your ID.
Oh, I have gray in my beard.
I don't care. I look like I'm 60, and they ID me. That's and all terrible. I drink is Gatorade, because otherwise I'll cramp. Anyway, so you get your wristband.
I'm international. Does a passport work?
A passport would work, absolutely. Okay. So you get your wristband, and what we envision is the expansion of our already pretty cool setup. Well, you've got food. We've got Steakhouse Elite Burgers and Dogs. We're going to have some kind of pizza, probably. We're going to have some sort of wings. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be almost like a music festival meets a tailgate meets a college environment. It is going to be unreal. You
quick
guys,
question. Quick
yes,
question.
Sir.
Are we going to have any karaoke?
Probably not at the tailgate.
I have a good voice.
Listen, I believe that. So we do have a live concert at the tailgate.
Okay.
So Franco's Anthem, we always have Franco perform live. He's got last year's anthem and this year's anthem. It's going to be amazing. Now, when you think about the fun we've had before, and listen, we pound our chest a lot about our tailgate. We're pretty goddamn proud of it. But when you add the college atmosphere, and this is where Justin's going to step in, we really think it is going to become tailgating evolved. So we know you're going to be fed, you know you're going to be watered, and while doing it, you're going to do some amazing things in the community. And that is really, it's tailgating with a purpose. It's what we've been doing, and it's what everyone can make this even better with doing, right? And then we add the stick carrier collegial thing, and here we go. Justin, what do you envision with that, brother?
All right, so first thing, this is what I think I'm best at, is, oh, you want to hold this for me?
Yeah.
Just hold he always wants to hold it for you.
I tried to.
Oh, Jesus.
No, come on.
Do I need two hands?
I need it closer to my face. No, that's fine. This is fine. No, this is fine. I just need it closer to my face so everyone can see me. We're on the Stick Carrier Facebook page live as well. So one thing that I've always been, and maybe it's my strongest feature going all the way back to when I was in radio, but hosting parties. I've always felt like I've done a very good job at being a host. Maybe not organizing them like Derek. And old school, I think he does a great job of organizing them. But one thing I can do, man, I love working a room. I love going around, making sure everyone's having a good time, making sure everyone's got a drink, making sure everyone's, you know, cheering, yelling, especially for a football game. So that's going to be my job at the tailgate parties, is to walk around, make sure everyone, the energy level is being raised as much as possible as we get closer and closer to kickoff. Now, what we're going to do, and Derek, should we go ahead and announce what time or the time frame that the tailgate parties are going to conclude? Because it does play a big part into what our plans are.
It absolutely does, and I'm glad you brought it up. So for those of you who've been to our tailgates, you know that we always break down an hour before the game, and we're very clear about that. We're fans first, right? We're absolutely fans first. So we break down, historically, an hour before the game. We're going to move that back another 15 minutes. So we do our last call used to be 15 minutes before. Now we're going to move it back that whole half hour. Last call will be an hour and a half before game kickoff, right? Then we will do close down. And at that point, guys, we'll do our group photo, which is always fun. And then Justin is going to start leading this together. And we're going to do something that I don't think I've ever seen. I've been to 20 stadiums, I believe, at this point. 20 different tailgates. I've never seen this done. Bring your green hat. Everyone's going to do it, Flint Town. Tell them what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, so here's the deal, and here's what's going to transpire at these tailgate parties. So let's say it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. We're used to those around here, and then you can adjust the time as is. But let's say it's a 1 o'clock kickoff at 11:30. We'll have last call. And then at 11:45, that's when everything stops. We're going to stop the tailgate party, and we're all going to kind of congregate there in Ohio, Ohio
Absolutely.
Street, whatever that is.
Yep, the right away.
And everyone's going to move there. So if we've got 1,000 people at the tailgate party, imagine 1,000 people in the street. And so what we're going to do, as Derek and his crew and the stick carriers and our crew start breaking down just some of the key equipment, we don't want anything stolen, so we want to make sure that that's all stored away. As they're all breaking that down, we're going to just start cheering. We are going to get loud. We are going to chant. We are going to do Bucks chants. We're going to spell out Buccaneers. We're going to do the Tampa Bay chant. We're going to chant Let's Go Bucks. We're going to chant What the Buck. We're going to chant Stick. Carry that stick. We're going to chant the Buckaholics. We're going to embrace everyone because we are uniting as one fan base. And then once everything is stored away, a little before, an hour from kickoff, we are going to march together, down Ohio, across Himes, and into the stadium together, chanting and cheering and yelling so that everyone in the parking lots on both the north and south side of the stadium can hear us. And then we're going to go up the ramp. No, we're not going up the escalator, folks. The escalator does not echo the same way the, what is it called? The rotunda?
The spiral, we call
the
it.
Spiral. The spiral. We just call it the spiral. As you go up the spiral, it echoes. People will be able to hear us throughout the entire parking lot. They're going to go, what is going on there? They're not going to say it's the stick carriers. They're not going to say it's what the Buck or Buckaholics. They're going to say it's that crazy-ass bunch of Bucks fans that goes in an hour before kickoff to get their team jacked up because we're taking back Raymond James Stadium this season. So as we go up the spiral, we're going to be right there by the pirate ship, right? Because that's the corner of the end zone, right where you're going to come out. And what we're going to do is we are going to go right behind the pirate ship, right into the concourse, and we are, because that's where it echoes, right into the concourse behind sections 109 where I sit and all that, you know, behind the Bucks bench. And we're going to be chanting and cheering and yelling all the way to the southwest corner of the stadium. That's the tunnel where the Buccaneers come out. Sections 118, 119, 120, 121. We are going to take over those sections. And as the Buccaneers come out of that tunnel, we are going to do exactly what we did at the Stick Carrier Takeover Day. But we're going to do it as one. We are uniting as one fan base. And we are going to roll call every single player that comes out of that locker room. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to acknowledge us. Old school, they're going to acknowledge us. Keith, they're going to acknowledge us.
Acknowledge us?
Is there a game tomorrow?
You saw it firsthand.
Dude, it's crazy. And
it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. I got plenty of
in
beer.
All
but
the
these
games
are cold.
I've been to. Did you say I've cold never beer? Seen this happen. Cold. I've never seen this kind of organization. And you guys have heard for years us talk about there's some things we organize pretty well. Like we do certain things really well. We've never been able to take it from well before the game all the way through the game until the end of the game, right? This is transformative. Like, Justin, you guys have called this a movement, and I can't argue with it. It is a movement. I mean, it
was not planned. Let me just go ahead and say, this was never, ever planned. This was Dirt Cutter saying, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick, and me going on my podcast at night and saying, hey, if he wants us to carry a big motherfucking stick, then anyone that listens to my podcast is a stick carrier. And that was it. That's how it, there was no, it was not me sitting back and saying, you know what, I'm going to sell t-shirts. I'm going to make a lot of money off of this. This is gonna
I
be
think
great.
It was that though, in the way you closed that show though, because you closed that show with, shh, remember, speak
really?
Softly
I'm gonna have to
and
back
carry
and
that
listen.
Big motherfucking stick. And then everybody started saying it.
Christian's all on your nuts right now. He remembers shit you don't remember. I
he
like
really
that.
Is.
Hey, Christian, you got a little Justin right there on your lip, buddy.
I'm surprised I still have my clothes on.
Let's talk a little bit about, about, like, Joe Bucks fan had an article about dispelling rumors. You just said something again. A couple of things that I did and that I was able to talk to these guys about, this is not about making money. It's just like what we do. It's just like what the Buckaholics do. It's about us getting bigger, better, stronger, faster, right? Better together, like we said before. The t-shirts are for identification, right? And you guys are going to see another announcement here coming soon about a special edition t-shirt that's mm-hmm. going to be pretty special, that the proceeds are all going to name charities, right?
Correct.
Right, we're going to get together in this United Nations of Bucks fans. We're going to figure it out. You guys know what the Buck really matters. We've got charities we support. We're going to come together. We're going to see if we can continue to expand that reach. Listen, learning how you do this shit, we joke around about it all the time. When we started, we didn't know how to do anything. We just said, well, has anyone done this before? No? Well, we'll figure it out, right? So we can help you guys in the stuff you're doing. You can help us in the stuff we're doing. But once again, better together. So let's talk about the tailgate experience. Let's talk about the experience we won in the stadium.
Let's stay with the shirts for a moment.
Okay,
and let me just address something, too, because and this is all out in the open, right? We're drinking beer. You know, nobody's really, you know, paying attention to what we're saying. So everything's free to say, right?
Absolutely.
On What the Buck, of course. I've had a lot of people come to me since that training camp takeover. And I think they're trying to capitalize off of what we were doing. And Derek, I sat with you, I believe it was the next morning. And I looked you in the eye and I said, This is not about making money. As soon as somebody looks at the stick carriers in a way to make money, the entire thing's going to crumble.
Yep.
You might as well just, you know, make as much money as you can and then get out, because it's going to completely fall apart, implode upon itself. That's not what this is all about. The shirts were done before, and we're going to continue to do the shirts. We are revamping our shirts. Never, ever envisioned it exploding, this whole movement, the way it has. We're going to continue to do our shirts. We are in the process of revamping how we do our shirts and where we do our shirts. And as we do that, there's going to be kind of two pots to it. We're going to have, as the shirt money comes in, and I think we need to be transparent with this, as the shirt money comes in, we're going to have a pot that goes to marketing and growing the movement, because I think that's what we really all want to do, is continue to grow this fan base and take over, take back Raymond James Stadium and build it to proportions that we've never seen before. And we're going to give back to charity. So to me, when I think of a mission statement for the stick carriers, just per se, and I know we're uniting here, but for the stick carriers, my mission statement has always been, and it's going to continue to be, to give back to Bucks fans and to give back to the community. And if I can do that to the less fortunate, as a group with Christian and Harold and Sammer and Rob as some of my leaders for the stick carriers, then so be it. I'm going to do my damnedest to do that. Now, does that mean that I don't make any money off of sponsors for my podcast? No, I make some money off of when you're investing 40 to 50 hours a week into a podcast and a movement, you probably want to make a little bit of money off of it just to kind of justify your time. Derek, I mean, right? I mean, that's not a bad thing.
I have no problem with it. It's not the model that I use,
care. I'm not making a ton of money, but
listen, the Mercedes you drove up in, man. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, please. I've had the same car. All right, here. Let's just throw it out there. I've had the same car for 14 years, okay? I've got my 4Runner. I've had it for 14 years, and you know what? It's still good, so I'm going to stick with it.
There's a difference, though, in making money off of people that are sponsoring your podcast and making money off of merchandise.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Correct. And I definitely want the merchandise. Because the merchandise is just about embracing a fraternity, embracing a movement, and if we can use that money for a good cause in growing the fan base and giving back to charity, to me, that's the ultimate goal, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, and that's where I think we can step up and help a lot. We talked about earlier, one of the things you don't have to do to be part of this movement, this effort that we're doing is, you don't have to like all the same shit. The only thing you have to like the same is the Buccaneers.
Yes.
Right? You're not going to all like the same podcast. So a lot, you know, believe it or not, Justin, some people think I'm an asshole. I know that may be hard to believe.
Nobody, you know what? You know what I've heard is that nobody dislikes me. I've realized that everyone really likes me. They think I'm really upstanding, and they think that I'm a king of the world.
You know, well, what's
funny? Oh, and I'm feeding right into that pompous.
Give me about two more beers in another half hour. I'll be hating on you.
Okay, there we go.
All right, so.
Fair and just?
So the shirts are clear. We're going to get those things rolled out. You guys are going to see some excitement about that. There's going to be money going to charity for that, which is going to be great.
All the proceeds for that shirt are going to go to charity.
Absolutely.
Not a marketing budget.
That's going to go to
the game day shirt that we're looking at for a unifying shirt. All of that's going to go to charity.
Now, when we go past that, when you look at what else you, like we were talking about, the what you have to do, we were talking about before, it's like ice cream. You don't have to all like the same shit. But one thing we are going to have at our tailgate is we are going to be family. We're all going to get along. We can disagree. You can love Doug Martin. You can hate Doug Martin. Don't care. We also have made it a destination here, and it's going to continue to be some. We had 200 Vikings fans. We had 600, I think, Raiders fans. They're fans just like we are. Before the game, we're going to drink together. Listen, we should be very friendly to the fans who come from other teams to our stadium, because they're going to be really sad after the game. So we have to really kind of console them a little bit. In the game, we can talk shit. That's fine. We have gone for, I guess, 11 years of tailgating. Cheryl will correct me because I don't know how time works. Never had a single incident at this tailgate. Think about the amount of alcohol consumed. It was funny. Nick in the chat room was like, shit, we're not going to be able to spell when we walk up to the stadium. No, you'll be okay. We'll have pictures. It'll be fine. Justin will be leading. It'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine because I've done it. I mean, honestly, that's how I spelled Buccaneers when I was younger, is I used to sing the song, and that was the way I would, Buccaneers, go Bucks. But I would.
Did you ever do like I did and wrote "Go Bucks" on the paper?
No, I never did. I always thought it though. But but if you can do that when you're younger, you can do it in your sleep, and you can definitely do it when you're drunk. Trust me, I've done it.
So that wasn't water in your water bottle?
Wait, what not- water?
We don't drink. Hell no, H2O. Yeah, I watch Coyote Ugly. What do you want? I'm sorry.
You're not drunk right now?
I'm a little drunk.
You're a little drunk?
Yeah. Only a little drunk.
So yeah. Is the rumor true then, Coyote Ugly, you got on the bar when you did karaoke?
Bitch, I'll get on the bar right now. I don't give a fuck. So this is when...
Are we going to hump on each other tonight?
Listen, as long as we keep our pants on, there's no problem. Not
nobody
anything
said
anyway.
Anything about pants.
Justin, I know a good bar in Tallahassee.
I bet you do. So Justin started talking about it. We're going to meet. He goes through the whole walkthrough. Guys, and a lot of you folks I've been fortunate enough to visit with in other cities, other stadiums. I don't know of this ever being done, guys. Honestly.
That's why this is special.
Like, there's tons of great podcasts out there. There's a bunch of good tailgates. As much as I'll put my dick on the bar and say ours is the best, there's a lot of great tailgates out there.
It's a small dick because it's cold in here.
It would barely reach.
Did you guys hear that thud? Little thud there?
But the reality is this...
It's more like
this combination of things is unique. So, for anyone out there, we'll put the Twitter handles out there. You all know how to interact on the Facebook pages. This is a real thing. We're getting together. We're going to do it up big. It's going to be spectacular. And it will be spectacular not because of the people at this table. It's going to be spectacular because of the 1,000 people that are there. Right? We talked about it earlier. The only way that this kind of stuff works is because everybody makes it work. Right, we all self-police. We all have a great time. So that's what it's going to be. Now, we're going to transition a little bit and actually talk about this team we love so much. We've made some announcements. We're going to continue to make announcements. We got the chat room going. I'll make sure that we get things going.
Before we get into the team,
yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and say we're not doing a tailgate for the first preseason game on Saturday.
Yes. Oh, thank you. And Ryan Winfrey, one of my crew members, said, dude, please tell people. This is for regular season. Preseason, we're doing – you've got the preseason pillage, yes?
Yes. Yes,
pillage
and our buddy Sammer, who does our graphic stuff, was like, we got to do pillage, preseason pillage, and that's fine. So here's what we're doing, because we're not doing a tailgate. Do your own thing. I've got a little child's birthday party that I'm going to on Saturday, but guess what? I'm going to make sure that's over at 3:30. Drop the kids off. We're good to go.
You're not going
to
go all Will Ferrell on us and fall in the pool at a kid's birthday
There's
party.
There's a possibility.
We're going streaking through the quad.
Going streaking.
We're going streaking. Well, you can
I
go.
I mean, I will go streaking.
I want you to leave.
Listen, we may have had one of our crew members streak on the field once and get thrown out. If you do get into the police or the station down inside of Ray J, at least draw all of the logos on the wall with those Sharpies.
Of course, yes. We'll
hashtags.
So
the goal for Saturday is, and I think Saturday is an important moment for all of us because we're sitting here uniting, people saying that. People that are saying that we are dividing the fam. What the Buck does their own thing. Stick carriers do their own thing. Buckaholics. No, we're here saying we all embrace each other. That's what this is all about. And that's why I think Saturday is so important. So if you're going to the game on Saturday night, make your plans now. I've been telling you all week long. Get a babysitter. Get there early. Tailgate if you want to. But make sure at 6 o'clock you're ready. Because at 6 o'clock, between 6:15, we're all going to meet by the ticket office. That's where we're meeting.
Which is the South End Zone.
South End Zone. That's the only ticket office, right?
Some people don't know where the ticket office is.
Ticket office, South End Zone, Tampa Bay, in between Hines and Del Mabry. So everyone meets there. You're going to see us. It's going to be a big group of people a long time before kickoff. So we're going to meet there. We're going to meet each other, have fun, cheer each other on. Then we're going to go into the stadium. We're going to get into the stadium an hour before kickoff. Kickoff doesn't start till 7:30. It's a fucking preseason game. Who's getting into the stadium an hour before kickoff? We are.
Idiots like us.
We are. And we're going to take over that tunnel and all those sections right by where the Bucks come out. And guess what? As they come out onto the field for a fucking preseason game, they're going to be like, holy shit, our fans are behind us. And we're going to cheer each player on. Jameis Winston. Mike Evans, even though he's not playing, we're going to chant them on. D-Jax. Quan Alexander, is he playing? He's not
No,
playing.
He's not
playing. Is anyone playing in this game? Damn it. Vernon Hargraves. We love
Robert
Vernon
Ayers.
Hargraves. Robert Ayers.
Is,
but
yeah.
Just chanting those players' names as they come out onto the field, it's going to be a special moment. And it's going to be the first time we do that because we're going to do it every time this upcoming season. Then as the team goes back into the locker room, we'll disperse. We'll all go back to our seats. And I'm telling you, I just have this vision. Just hold on, Christian. God, you don't know. Listen,
Dominicans are always premature.
I know. And here's the thing. He doesn't understand the whole buildup of anticipation.
I don't want radio.
All right. Keep your mouth shut. So then as we get to the opening kickoff, we all stand up. Stick carriers, what the buck, buckaholics, everyone. And for those that aren't part of any of those groups, they'll know. Because then we'll all just start swaying back and forth. We'll start swaying back and forth. Chant, we ready. We ready. We ready. Tampa Bay. Could you imagine just echoing over and over as the team lines up for the kickoff to start the game? If you think you're pumped up right now, imagine how those players are going to be on the field. And what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is to jack our team up as much as possible so that they go out and win. I don't give a shit if it's a preseason game or a regular season game. We're going to get them so fired up that they go out and kick the shit out of every opponent they have inside that that stadium this season. That's all I have. I'm done.
Listen, we've been doing this podcast a long time. I've never had someone clip a mic as much, and I love it. I love the passion. I've got messages on my phone on Facebook. I got people that I've been with for the better part of 12 years saying they got chills. Rick in the chat room said he cried at the takeover. This really is, I hate saying very unique because it's redundant and stupid, but this is unique. If we're able to pull this off, and I don't think it's an if,
when we pull this off, we're going to do this.
This will be transformational. Now, I've been to New Orleans and heard the stand up and get crunk cheer when they score and not been able to hear myself think and been like, fuck, I wish we had this in our stadium. I've been to Atlanta and heard them chant in that stadium and been like, fuck, I wish we had this in our stadium. We can have this in our stadium. Our stadium can be this loud. I've been to Seattle. The 12s aren't all that. Listen, you give them 4 years of bad games, and those fuckers are off watching Highlight or whatever you do in Seattle.
That's exactly right? The thing. That's exactly
Lived there. Been there. Done that, right? They're fair weather as hell. This town has been through hell. We've gone through the misery. We've gone through the shit. We've got Jameis Winston at quarterback. We've got Coach Cutter. We've got a staff. We've got talent all around us. The time is now. When you look at football, there are windows. There are opportunities. We had one back in 99. Well, 97 through. 99 was the peak, and I talked about Ricky Prohl this morning, and I'm still sore about it.
But we had
the run, right? We're ready to run right now, right? So get on. Like Justin said, if you're a what the buck, if you're a stick carrier, you're none of those things. You're a Bucks fan. Just get in where you fit in. Listen to the podcast you like. Come tailgate with us. Go to the games. If you're in another stadium and others are traveling, let us know. Because if we travel, we'll be with you.
And I talked about doing the We Ready chant when we're kicking off, but there's no reason. And I know for a fact that the Buccaneers, there are Buccaneers officials listening to this right now. They know what's going on. They follow us, all of us on social media. They knew that there was going to be a big announcement tonight. And we've made the big announcement. We are all united. We're uniting this fan base together for you, Buccaneers. So I hope you're ready. And here's one thing. If you're listening over there at One Buck Place, there's no reason that after every touchdown, we're not all in those stands spelling out BUCCANEERS. Go Bucks. There's no reason why that's not happening. They're doing it with the Jets. They're doing it with the Eagles. We've had this chant all the way back to the 70s. And for some reason, it faded away. I don't know if it was because of the orange uniforms. I don't know if it's because in the 80s, they just didn't score that much and we didn't have a lot to cheer about. I don't know.
Literacy rates.
Maybe. Maybe people got too drunk and they couldn't spell it.
Nobody, you know what?
We can do it now. We can bring it back. And I really think it's important to bring those aspects back because we're turning Bucks games into an event. Okay? That's what this is all about. This is about building a student-type section in that south end zone. It's about building a college-type atmosphere. And what do you get at those college football games? You get those certain chants that happen at certain times. USF spells out South Florida. Florida State spells out Florida State. There's no reason why we as Buccaneer fans can't spell out B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S.
You're exactly
it's very
right.
simple, and we should do it after every single touchdown, and we should have a ritual after every or for every single kickoff, and we should have a ritual for every game before, during warmups. We should get our team fired up, and guess what? When that defense is on the field, we need to stand the fuck up and cheer for them. We need to get loud as fuck inside this stadium this year. And it falls on my shoulders and it falls on your shoulders listening right now.
Now go ahead, Keith.
I was just going to say, we have to have a college mentality as far as the fan base goes.
You're from Tallahassee.
What happens in Gainesville. Look what happens in Tallahassee. Look at the Camp Randall stomp for Wisconsin in the third quarter. What we have a fucking pirate ship in our stadium.
Yes. Okay? That's a college thing.
We have a fan base that has accepted the pirate mentality. We like to drink beer. We like to watch football. We like to kick ass. That's what we're here to do. And right now, what Justin, Christian, Derek, and I, and all of you, what we need to do is we need to establish these traditions, the ones that Justin mentioned. We need to have the team, the players, the fans expecting to hear these things. Mm-hmm. When we score a touchdown, we always hear the cannons. We're familiar. You wait for the cannons. Everybody waits for the cannons to fire. We need to hear the stick carriers. We need to hear the Buckaholics. We need to hear WTB. We need to hear What the Buck. We need to hear each and every one of you.
In the chat room right now, someone just said something as well, and the word tradition came out, and that's something that's going to happen. That grows organically. These cheers you're talking about, they will grow organically and they will spread virally. And that's the power. You get two Jagoffs that are cheering and it spreads to seven. If you start with 2,000, guess how fast it spreads.
Yes.
But someone said third downs, right? When you think about third downs, and you guys did this at the takeover, you wanted to cause them to call a timeout or cause a false start, and it happened. I was there. I saw it. I tweeted about it. It happened, right?
Was that for the rest of practice.
Was that one of the greatest moments ever in a Buccaneer training camp, that the crowd there forced their offense
to call timeout
at a training camp to call a timeout? I mean, that must have been one of the – I've been to a lot of training camp practices. You've been to a lot of training camp practices.
Oh, my God. Usually you're just you're sitting around, you know, looking at your phone, looking at practice.
Old school. You've probably been to more than anyone, even more than me.
What was?
Yeah, I'm dumb. I go to everyone I can't get to. It was the first I've ever seen.
What was great for me was the reaction of the players. I mean, the players got jacked the fuck up. They were jumping up and down, pointing at the crowd, going nuts. I mean, they literally went in the silent count for the rest of practice. They had to go in the silent count.
And that was only a few thousand people now. That was only a few thousand people at a training camp practice. We can do that inside our stadium. We need to take back Ray J.
We need to take back the stadium on third down. There's no reason any of you are sitting in your seats.
If somebody is sitting in their seat, tell them to get the fuck up.
Listen, Derek just said it. It happens organically. I mean, there's been a lot of people sitting on their hands lately, right? Not a lot to cheer about. But last year, if you remember that Seattle game, you know, one guy stood up, then the next guy stood up. The next, you know, everybody was standing up. It was going freaking insane. Like you said, it just kind of happens organically.
So one of the things I want to bring up here is, and this is where, like Justin said earlier, there are officials from the Buccaneers listening to this. They have listened to us over years.
They're listening.
They listen to everyone over years. I know a lot of our guys have been trying to get a cheering section put in, like the deep end in Miami down there. And these are things that can happen over time, right? But what starts now is, if you're the one asshole standing up, it's easy for them to call an usher and be a dick, right? If the whole section stands up, you know what happens. We've all been there. Everyone just stands up. Mm-hmm. If it's a critical third down, if it's the end of the game, people don't act like assholes when it's a big play. If you make every play a big play, if your culture changes such that when you go into Raymond James Stadium, the default position is on your goddamn feet.
Yes!
And that's how you create tradition.
Dude, when you go to a college game, when you go to a stadium that has that kind of mentality, that has that kind of fan base, you feel it. You feel it walking into the stadium. You feel it when you walk out. You feel drained. You feel exhausted. We owe it to the fan base. We owe it to the team. We owe it to the league. We owe it to the game. If you're going to come to the stadium and sit on your hands,
stay home. Stay home.
You can use your own bathroom. You can pay for
air conditioning.
You can have cheaper beer.
Cheaper beer.
You can kiss your kids and go play with them at halftime. We're here to show not only the Buccaneers, the team, the players. We're here to show the NFL that we're not a joke, that we're a real team, we're a real franchise, we're on the rise, and we are not that far from taking back our stadium, and then we're coming after yours.
Well, and here's the thing. We're here because we all have one thing in common. We all want the Bucks to win. Okay, Dirk Cutter wants to have a badass football team, right? That's what he keeps saying. He wants to have a badass football team. Why in the hell are we not trying to have a badass fan base to go with his badass football team? And my God, why can we not do that in the stands? And I think we can. Here's the thing. And Keith, you said it great. You know, if you want to go to the game and just watch the game, just stay at home. We're building an atmosphere. We're building a home field advantage because, again, you go around this table, whether it's What the Buck, Buckaholics, Stick Carriers, or any other fan out there, you're not rooting for the Bucks to just tie or lose. You're rooting for them to win. Well, if you want to help them win, if you want to help them achieve the goal that you have for them, then you need to provide that home field advantage because we have a say in the outcome of the game. And I'm not just saying from being loud. I'm saying if you're a player coming out of that tunnel and you see opposing team's fans in the lower bowl, you get a little deflated. If you come out of that tunnel and you see empty seats, you get deflated. I'm a former football player. I know this. I played at UConn and We didn't have
it's a football school?
I'm sorry about
that. It's a football
that.
School?
Wait a minute. Wait, they play with a ball that's not round?
Yeah. They have girls basketball.
It was.
I know that.
It was deflating. I couldn't even make it at UConn.
You got conned.
So here's the deal. If that team comes out of that tunnel and they've got fans and they've got those sections filled in 118, 119, 120, 121, and they're going crazy, but as they look across the way to those sections behind the opposing team's bench, and they see Bucks fans there, and they're going crazy, and the fans going behind their bench going crazy. Now the entire stadium is going crazy. Guess what that's going to do? That's going to raise the adrenaline level for the team. And when your adrenaline goes up, I don't know about you, but I do much better at my job when my adrenaline is through the roof. Christian, you probably make better haircuts when your adrenaline.
You should see the fades he puts out when there's adrenaline.
Those are some kick-ass fades.
Something about adrenaline and razors. That
yeah,
don't,
I don't know. I don't know if I want somebody jacked up with a razor on my neck.
But Justin, feeding off what you're saying, you know who else hears that?
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. You know who else hears that? The opposing team.
Yeah.
And the opposing fans.
Yeah.
They hear that.
Yeah, I mean, we're not only see it's a double-edged sword here. You're jacking up your team. They're fired up to go out there and perform for you. And you're making it absolute hell on the opponents, which we've never. I mean, even in our heyday, old school, I don't think we ever made it hell on our opponents.
No, it's funny. I was just thinking about that because when you think about the heyday and you think about the plays where Warren Sapp would make that play on third down, it just happened. It didn't matter what the hell else was happening. Yep. He was going to make the play. It got loud, and I remember loud times. I remember the playoff games that were loud. I remember the first time they brought out the battle flags and how cool that was.
Do you remember when the Vikings came in? They were undefeated. They were like 6-0 that year. And that was the loudest I've ever heard that stadium.
They let Randy Moss catch for 200 yards and still beat him or whatever?
Yes, I'll never forget. That was the loudest I've ever heard that stadium.
No, it was phenomenal. And that is, when we talk about viral spread, and we were joking around about it while we're eating ribs, there's two guys that are
by
like...
By the way, Derek knows how to smoke meat. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, thank you very much.
God, and chicken wings.
Smoke some of my meat.
And chicken wings.
Does this have anything to do with the measuring contest?
No, it does not.
Okay.
There are two guys that start this damn defense chant. They're like between Christian and I in 218 to 215. They start it and it spreads. And that's about as good as it gets other than Tampa and Bay.
Yeah.
Can you imagine thousands of people who start and understand the chants and can get this stuff going? Guys, it really is going to be something to see. So you're going to need to follow all the Twitter accounts, the Facebook accounts, find out what's going on. Get a flavor for it, the preseason pillage. Get out there at the south end zone by the ticket place. We're going to walk in together. We're going to have all this stuff going. And there's going to be an onus on the Buccaneers. So you Buccaneers folks are listening. And I agree with Justin. I know they're listening. Yeah, if they're not listening live, they're listening on a podcast.
Shame on them if they're not listening, which they are.
If you were listening live, you could hear us.
We are going to
some beer.
We are going to need your help, Buccaneers, right? We're going to need your help because as much as that will spread, as we're all standing up, that will make some of this go away. This stadium has to embrace. It has to embrace this kind of fan change, right? From security to entry times, right? We're literally going to be talking with the Bucks about making sure they have extra staff at the gate that this is going to go in, because we don't want people waiting. No one wants to wait. We all want to get in there. We can all be part of this, right? It's all going to be us. We were joking. We weren't joking. We were not joking at all. Flags walking down the street. This is going to be Gasparilla meets football meets SMF. It really is going to be something special. So I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I see someone talking about a fan app. Don't worry. That's already being discussed. There's a lot of this shit going on, guys. So if you want to be part of it, let us all know. Whatever crew you represent, you hang out with, talk amongst everyone. Like, we're all part of the same family. We can share this sort of knowledge. And we all get better.
I think once we start doing these tailgate parties together and it's like, oh, I was a member of the stick carriers, but man, those
what just happened?
Christian, just stay over here.
Those What the Buck guys are really cool. And the What the Buck guys are like, man, those Buckaholics are really cool. And now it's like, now it's not different groups. It's like, okay, well, I can be a part of every group. Yes, we want you to be a part of every group. I want you to listen to my podcast. I want you to listen to What the Buck. You know, I just think it's just about, you know, embracing each other as fans. I won't say anything about the evil Bucks media. I know we're being polite.
It's so. At this point that I have to interject that we just started the Buckaholics podcast.
Episode one
just launched yesterday. You can find it at buckaholics.com.
We told you there was going to be more breaking news.
There it is.
So I would like to personally extend on behalf of your fan base, the Stick Carriers.
Yes.
And What the Buck, say thank you for allowing us to be part of this. I think what you're saying and what you've done, it's phenomenal. I mean, I've been a Bucks fan my entire life, okay, ever since they've been here. I've been to the stadium when it was all green for the Packers.
Yeah.
And all brown and blue for the Bears.
Okay.
I've seen this. Remember the story of the tickets on the windshield? That old fable.
It's not a fable. It's right, fucking true.
My father put two tickets on his. I swear to
that's
God.
That's why I brought it up.
These stories are real. I wasn't around for that. These stories are real.
Our parking space was right in the front, right next to the old Tampa Stadium. And it was my dad and I. And we went to a preseason game. I think it might have been a regular season game. And he just put the extra. He was like, we can't sell these. And he put the two tickets on the windshield. And I swear, we came back and we're like, oh boy, there's four there. Like, come on.
That's what
like,
I mean.
This is multiplied. What is happening right now? And people think it's a fable. It's not. It was absolutely true.
Yes,
Trent Dilfer's wife called my dad a pussy.
Well, I mean, I don't know your dad or Trent Dilfer that well.
Well, she was a mean old bitch.
judging by the measuring contest we have, you know. But that said, what we're trying to do here, and we're talking about the chants and the cheers and all that, it all falls in line with the unity, okay? We, as fans, can make an impact on our players, on the other team's players. We can make an impact on the Buccaneers front office. If we unify and we're all on the same page and we do the same thing, the same cheers, the same swaying back and forth, marching into the stadium. This isn't just, for some of us, this just isn't a game that we watch on TV or a game that we go to or an event. You wake up on Monday morning after a loss, and your day sucks.
Life is just better
your
when you win.
Your day sucks. Victory Monday isn't called Victory Monday because it doesn't matter, okay? When we're on national TV, we've got two national TV games at Ray J this year. Two, a Color Rush and a Monday Night. You grew up watching Monday Night Football. That was the biggest thing on TV. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to not only let our fans know, our team know, our players, the entire fucking nation, that the Bucks fans and the Bucks are here. We're not some chumps. We're not some flighty fan base. We're not a bunch of,
you know, I gotta ask you a question, and I know this is sort of not in the spirit of this podcast, but I this is part of the fan unity thing, right? Who the fuck cares what anyone thinks about our fan base? They can all blow me. I know who our fan base is. We've talked about it before. We have 30 to 40,000 guys and gals who will bleed red and pewter. And we want to turn that 30 to 40,000 into 120,000. I'm not out here to impress anyone on TV. I'm not out here to impress anyone in Cleveland or Green Bay.
I'm here to win some fucking games.
No, well said.
What the fuck, man? Everyone's like, well, we don't get our respect on ESPN. You know what? Respect isn't given. It's fucking earned. Go yes! win some football games.
Yes.
And if anybody says we don't get respect, we've been all over NFL Network this whole entire goddamn offseason. It's been insane.
Man, you know who's all over everything? And I don't want to make this political because I definitely will disagree with most of the people in the room, I'm sure, about this. Colin Kaepernick's all over TV right now. He doesn't play football. That's on ESPN. Is that what you want? I don't care.
I
want to be on these things because we win games.
Yes.
You know who's on TV? The Super Bowl fucking winners. They're on TV. So fucking get there. You can't be, well, I really wish people would pay attention because we missed the playoffs narrowly. Who gives a shit? That just puts you in line.
Can I just say something about...
I'm ready to march in the stadium right now.
If you miss the playoffs, you miss the playoffs. That's the whole point. Unifying the base, can't we somewhat affect the outcome of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, can I just say something about Colin Kaepernick? He's a shitty quarterback.
Yes.
I don't understand why nobody talks about how bad of a quarterback he is. He's terrible.
This is an argument at the barbershop on a daily fucking basis. It's a racist thing. I'm gonna watch NFL football because they won't.
No, he sucks.
First of all, these people who say they're gonna boycott NFL football, I mean,
they're not.
That means you weren't really down with it in the first place.
And they're not.
Second of all, if you think I'm going to boycott watching my team or because what I call the greatest game in the world because you guys don't like what one guy did, you go
because
fuck
of
yourself.
A shitty quarterback.
Well, that's the point.
I'm sorry. You brought it up. I ran with it. Can we talk about the Bucks? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
about
you said you
want to
talk about our lovable team. Let's talk about our team.
All right. So all the announcements are made, right? We're good. We're uniting. And now we're going to talk some Buccaneer football.
Yep. That's exactly what we're going to do. So thank you guys who've tuned in for the announcement portion. We're going to continue to tweet the shit out of this and let everyone know what's going on. We're going to transition. I've been at training camp the entire time. I know my man Ren Dax has been out there. We've been talking about Justin. The takeover was there. Christian, you were there. We've got a game coming up this week at home in Ray J. We get a chance to see what's going on. I'm going to tell you guys what I saw at training camp today. You guys here in the studio can certainly weigh in. People in the chat room who want to talk about it can do that as well. I do a video every day about what's happening at training camp, and I'm going to tell you we've had three shitty practices in a row. So after all of this pounding our chest and excitement, we've had three shitty practices. Now, what does that mean? It means absolutely fuck all is what it means. It means the team has got to get their heads out of their ass and play football. And Cash, I know, and we'll talk about that some other time. Listen, I don't want to get into that conversation, but Coach Cutter has an approach that I happen to love, and I want to make sure that I articulate it really clearly for the listeners of this podcast. Preseason games are not games. They are practice against people you don't mind hitting. Yep. They're full contact practices. His job is in these next two games to get the best 53 cats who can play football in our uniform. He's not interested in entertaining us in the stands. He's not interested in winning the game by score. He is interested in evaluating those 53 players and getting the best roster. So if you go in there mad because Kwan's not playing because he's dinged up or McCoy's not playing because he's not dinged up, listen, go ahead and calm the fuck down. They'll play when they're ready. Those guys aren't at risk of missing this game. They're certainly not sitting there getting their nails done. If they're not playing, they need the therapy, the cryo, whatever they need to get better for game one. This is all in preparation for the Miami Dolphins, which I'm going to be at, and I know a number of you are going to be there too. Now, Jameis Winston has been insanely accurate in these 3 days of shitty practice, by the way. So there is a silver lining, not only in the short and intermediate routes, but in the long routes, which is a great change for Jameis. Now, today, sadly, he was dropping the ball in the breadbasket, and people were dropping the ball literally dropping the ball. Chris Godwin had, I think, 4 drops today. OJ Howard had 2 or 3 drops. Cam Brate had 3 drops, which I've never seen in my life.
Cam Brate.
Now, yesterday, the tight ends could catch everything. Hell, they were catching tennis balls from, like, Jesuit, because, of course, at Jesuit, they play tennis. Only locals would get that joke. That's so rude. Running backs look good today. They're all shifty. We're going to find out what's going on. We're going to do a roster walk, I'm sure, at some point. Defensively, a couple of things I want to point out. Beckwith looks great in coverage, guys. This kid is a rock star. Now, I saw someone, I got into a little bit of a debate on one of the forums. I think Chris was in there from the Buckaholics. Someone was talking about Devontae Bond not having a roster spot. Listen, Devontae Bond's hurt. Devontae Bond was balling his ass off before that. Linebacker depth is important. He and Beckwith are both playing good football. Bola is playing good football as well. This is one of those positions. The linebacker position is going to be critical because they did show 3-4, I guess, 5 times today in practice. There will be a 3-4 wrinkle in this defense. So go ahead and prepare for that. Now, who will be deployed in that 3-4 will be different, whether it's just going to be Noah on one end when Jack gets back, because Jack is out there with no pads on. Who knows when he's going to come back? It's going to be great. Nick, your comment about Adarius Glanton is perfect. Adarius Glanton, we wouldn't have normally seen, Because of the injuries, we're seeing a lot of Adarius Glanton, and he is bawling his ass off too. So here we are with an area of extreme need for the Bucks. You had Lavonte David and Quan Alexander, but behind that, there was all this concern and consternation about who was playing linebacker. Listen, we've got some depth there. Now, Mike Smith is very clear. This is going to be an aggressive defense. I'm going to promise you this, Bucks fans, and do not get upset. Do not get sad. Do not get worried. Do not get pensive. We're going to give up big plays. It's just going to happen.
What?
I know. It's hard to believe. It's going to happen. Shame. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There are going to be turnovers and splash plays and things that we can raise hell about because this defense is going after people. Every single one of them. Coach Smith has these guys absolutely firing their gun. If they're going to make the bad read, they're going to make it fast. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that guy better make sure he makes his right read because if he goes the wrong way, he's going to get blown the fuck up. And that's what you want out of a defense. Safety position battle. I know this was just an incredible bitch fest because people love to hate Chris Conte. I'm here to tell you, Chris Conte and Keith Tandy are your starting safeties. It's not close, guys. It's just not.
He saved our ass last year, 2 games. People still hate him.
They hate him. And I get it. Everyone's got to pick someone they hate. And it's okay. And we can argue about it. And you can pull up the stats. You can pull up that Bleacher Report article from 3 years ago and think that that's stats. Listen, watch the game. If you're going to get NFL Game Rewind, go watch All 22. If you're not watching All 22, then shut up. Let the big kids talk, right? J.J. Wilcox is playing good football. Justin Evans is learning the game. They're going to get better. Mike Smith is not a guy who needs immediate gratification. He knows what he's doing. He's building a stack. So he'll ride Chris Conte and he'll ride Keith Tandy until the other guys continue their improvement, and then he's going to shuttle them all.
Well, and I think one thing that you got to point out too is that this defense didn't start to click until halfway through the season last year.
Bingo.
And Keith Tandy and Chris Conte were part of that. J.J. Wilcox and Justin Evans were not. And that communication is vital. It's important. And it takes time. And so they might not be ready to step in right away. And just because Keith Tandy and Chris Conte start the season as the safeties does not mean that they're going to end the season as the safeties, but they will be the guys until J.J. Wilcox, most likely, I think Justin Evans, it'll take him a little more time, but J.J. Wilcox, if he picks up the communication skills, now you could see him start to compete for more of a starting job.
Absolutely.
But for the time being, Chris Conte and Keith Tandy know what they're doing. They know their roles. And I'll tell you, Keith Tandy at the end of last year was really good. I'm really excited to see what he can do now that, I mean, after what we saw at the tail end of last year, his creation of turnovers, I mean, they need that. I mean, if you can get turnovers, defense in the NFL these days, you're not going to just shut down an opponent. But if you can get those splash plays, if you can get those turnovers, changes the entire game, and Keith Tandy did that last year.
I think at when they started clicking communication-wise, they didn't lose his games. Tandy and Conte didn't lose his games, and I think the interesting part about what you pointed out, the two things, at least for me, that I took out from what you said, is the evolution of this team, right? So the conversation a couple years ago was, who's starting? Now it's at key positions that we lacked depth last year. Now we're talking about the third and fourth guys at those positions.
Depth.
That depth. That's a conversation now. And the other thing that I picked out about what you said was the evolution of Jameis, right? His deep ball and his accuracy was always questionable. And that throw that he made to Mike Evans, I mean, that's the best throw I've probably seen Jameis make.
You know, and it's funny because it's still questionable. And that's something Jameis has to work on. And he's continuing to work on it. He did throw that one, and it was in the breadbasket. Today he was on the money. He's learning how to throw to a guy like DeSean Jackson, who's so damn fast, it's hard to overthrow him. But I talked about this on the video I did today. There was a route that they rolled out today. So if you're not familiar with a bench and go or an out and up, it's essentially an out route that a receiver runs and then fakes the out and then goes up to a nine. He essentially goes on a fly. What they did was they did, and I don't know a name for it. I'm sure there is one that Gruden is probably bitching at me right now. He's not listening to the podcast. But it was an out and up and a comeback. So he showed the out and up. Vernon Hargraves ran damn near to our tailgate lot when he saw him show that up. He was gone. DeSean just turned back around. I could have kicked the ball to DeSean Jackson. This is the essence of weapons.
Are you sure you could have?
I could have.
Are you that good of a kicker?
Because
we could use a kicker. We are needing a kicker.
And I'm here to report to you, by the way, this hot off the presses.
More bad news.
Nick Folk was nails today.
Oh.
Was nails. And you know what?
Well,
Hawker actually was
me.
Too.
You mean nails like he made all the kicks?
Yes, he did. He made all the nails. Is good. Nails
oh,
is good.
Oh, okay.
No, Nails is good. And then Hocker hit a 61-yard field goal through the narrow uprights.
Is the rumor true about the Florida kicker making an 81-yard field goal?
I don't know. I hate kickers. I don't think we should fucking kick ever again. I said it 2 weeks ago. So just stop kicking.
Just Mike Tomlin it? Just two-point
conversions? Take that position back. Let anger kick the ball off and just go for two-point conversions. Well,
and somebody actually asked this on a Bucks take into the Bucks Uncensored podcast. They were like, do we just do what Tomlin did? I was like, well, I don't think you jumped to conclusions yet. But then I started to think about it. It's like, God, you got O.J. Howard. You got Cameron Brate. You got Mike Evans. You got DeSean Jackson. You got Adam Humphries, who can run in the slot there. And it's like,
bingo.
How do you stop this? Bingo. How do you stop it at the two every time?
That's another thing I've taken away from.
No one wants us to do the math. Because that guy in California that does this shit at the high school level, there's someone someday that's going to do this at the pro level, and everyone's heads are just going to explode.
Yes.
They're going to be like, hey, listen, I don't really need this position. My punter can kick off. And you know what? Maybe we just onside
save
kick.
A roster spot.
Screw it. We'll save the roster spot. So let's talk a little. We talked a little bit about defense, and Christian, you brought up the good point, depth. When you think about teams that are poised to make a run, and listen, well, we always said it before, potential. What does potential mean, ladies and gentlemen? You ain't done shit yet.
Oh.
That's all it means.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of an asshole. But when you have depth, you have a chance because you're going to have injuries. And when you have depth on defense, Mike Smith is not like the coaches we've had here of yore. And not to say they were bad. In fact, in the heyday, our coaches back in the glory days didn't platoon people. You were in there, bitch. Run till you can't run anymore. And then maybe you come out. These guys get platooned. Other than 93, these guys get platooned, mm-hmm. right? And that keeps them fresh because Mike's always attacking at all points.
Well, I think too, before we get into the depth on this team this year, that's really been an issue with this organization, maybe for the last 10 years. And sorry about your luck, but Mark Dominic, you sucked after really the third through seventh rounds of every single. You can go back to every single one of his drafts, and you can't pick out a key player after the second round of any draft. And when you think about what Jason Light has done in a short time, even a guy just off the top of my head, Kevin Pamphill was a fifth-round pick, starting guard.
Who's going to get paid?
Quan Alexander, we know about him. I mean, you can go
back
down
this year.
Ali Marpet from
Hobart. They trade up in the second round. See, here's the thing, and people are like, "Well, they traded up for a kicker." Well, they also traded up for a Division III player who's now probably their most important offensive lineman. I think you can make an argument for it.
I think
it's not an argument. He is the most important.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, and Justin's not pounding his chestnut right now, and he could because he called Ali Marpet. No one else called Ali Marpet. Ali Marpet is a goddamn stud. Moving him to center takes your best offensive lineman and puts him at the quarterback of the offensive line position. It also gives you flexibility with Evan Smith and Joe Hawley, who are both undersized and too old, but they work their asses off. So right now, Warhop is looking at this going, shit, I've got flexible guys who can throw everywhere. Right, I've got Pamphill, who I'm flexing to tackle where he played before.
Yep.
Donovan Smith, everyone in the organization believes Donovan Smith is going to be a stud. It's not about physical ability.
He's only in his third year. I don't understand the criticism he gets. I really don't. I think it's mind-boggling to me that a guy who was a rookie and then his second year and is going against the elite pass rusher of every single team
every week,
is doing a good job, he gets as much criticism as he does.
He has looked great in these first two games. Look great in his first games, and I mean you can attest to it, right? The left tackles, they're not around anymore. With this spread offense and the way that the college teams play, there's not tackles.
That's
anymore.
A really good point that Christian just brought up, and we didn't focus on it because there was an article that came out a while back about this, and it's not just the impact it's had on offensive linemen, because you've got to go to a program like Wisconsin, Stanford maybe, because they're still teaching offensive line tactics and techniques, right? Because they're not running spreads, they're running a pro style offense, right? But this impact is significant, and that impact is beyond the offensive line. Fundamentals aren't being taught the same way. Tackling is not the same. All of these things have changed. The game that we love is changing, and that's okay. This staff, we have got professors on this. We're very fortunate, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think, Justin, you talked about it on your podcast. Maybe the biggest signing, the biggest continuity position had nothing to do with a guy who will catch or tackle or anything with a football. It was Mike Smith.
Oh,
keeping
agreed.
Mike Smith was biggest, the biggest thing yes. we could do.
Biggest offseason move.
Biggest move of the offseason. Having that continuity on defense, because he was approached by two different teams to be a head coach, but to keep him and to have him say, you know what, I'm staying. And he didn't say for 1 year. He said for years. So if they can, And I don't know how many years, but if they can just keep him for two more years, that gives them a legit, at least a legit run. Now, this year, I think you start to look at this team and how they performed in the first couple of preseason games, what they have on paper, how they've stayed healthy for the most part.
This is not a measuring contest.
Yeah, we're all knocking on wood. I mean, the actual table, not our own wood. I really think that, you know, this is, we've seen crazier things happen in the NFL than team that's on the rise make a legit run. And in an NFC where, I don't know, I mean, who's, are the Falcons the team?
Nobody talked about the Falcons last year making
Nobody
a run like
talked
that.
About the
Nobody
Falcons.
Nobody talked about Carolina making a run the way they made it. And they went 15-1 for Christ's
sakes. But here's the issue, is a lot of people are talking about the Bucs making a run.
Yes, they are.
That's a lot different than what we've seen the last couple of years.
And Hard Knocks and all the attention.
But, you know, you look at the Cowboys are going to be without Elliott for 6 weeks. Green Bay, we don't really know
Seahawks
what.
Seahawks don't have an
really
offensive line.
They don't really have a defense, and Seahawks don't have an offensive line. And Arizona, the Carson Palmer's falling apart, and Eli Manning throws a bunch of interceptions, and I don't know. I just look at the NFC as a conference that is pretty open, and I think the toughest division in this conference is the NFC South. So whatever team comes out of the NFC South, division winner or wild card, because I think you can go on the road and win some games. You've got a legit shot. And, you know, people are like, well, maybe the Bucs are a playoff contender, but they're not a Super Bowl contender. Guess what? I got news for you. I followed the NFL for a long time, and Old School and Keith and Christian, I know you have as well. If you're a playoff contender, you're a fucking Super Bowl contender.
You've got to get a ticket.
Period. Yeah, how can you just be a playoff contender? Unless you're in the AFC and going against the Patriots in the heyday.
If they can stay healthy. And you just mentioned a little bit ago, Derek and Justin, I think the most important thing on offense, if Sweezy can stay healthy and moving Marpet to center, was it me? Was it just me?
They're not going to move. I don't think they'd move Marpet back to guard.
No. I'm saying if Marpet moving of Marpet to center Sweezy at guard.
What I'm saying is if Sweezy gets hurt, they're not going to move. I don't think they'd move Marpet back to guard. Marpet's your center.
Yeah, no. Even if he gets
which
hurt.
Which is great. Which is phenomenal.
Even if he gets hurt. What I was going to arrive to was it glaring to you or is it just me? The difference that Ali made at center? I mean, they were blowing holes open. And that wasn't against some chumps. That was Malik Jackson. That was Calais Campbell. Yeah, I mean, you could see just the size difference.
So
the beef.
Here's the thing. I think that Ali's a huge upgrade. And I am probably the largest physically and emotionally Joe Hawley fan you can imagine. I love what he brings.
He's a bigger Joe Hawley, though.
He is a bigger, younger, stronger, less hurt Joe Hawley, right? Now, I love having a Joe Hawley on that line because Joe Hawley will fight your mom if you do something against his team. He is the greatest fucking team player you can have. He gives that team its spunk. Now, J.R. Sweezy is ready to fight a bunny rabbit just tomorrow because it's Friday.
Does Ali have that mean streak in him?
Ali is the quiet guy, but he's ready.
He'll
maul you. Like, here's the thing about offensive line. Justin, you know this. Yeah. Here's the thing. From whistle to whistle, you can do shit that gets you arrested. Don't get a flag after the play. Just wait till the next play. Oh, I'm sorry. You chopped me? I got you next play. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be back. I'm going to be right here. So when you look at what Ali does, he is bigger and stronger. I think we have to see that in the regular season. What's nice is his calls are good. That's the big thing about the quarterback of the offensive line, and he's super smart. So he's making the right calls. He's getting guys in the right position. And when I asked him about it after practice one time, he said the nice thing about Sweezy and with what's going on with the line is lines, I always joke around about the bigs, it's dancing. It's choreography
dancing
with big,
bears.
Strong guys. When they can dance without talking, magic happens. So he said, I can just look at Sweezy or I can just look out and I can give him a look and they know what we're going to do. They know how the combo block's going to be. And I asked Coach Cutter in the beginning of training camp, I asked Ali and Coach Cutter, are you guys trying harder with this scheme to get to the second level? This is an athletic offensive line, right? And when you watch the way they're blocking, they're coming off of zone blocks. They're getting to the second level really fast. They're running bubbles and screens. Listen, no linebacker in the goddamn league wants J.R. Sweezy coming downhill at him. They just don't, right? So if these guys can get out there and run, the reason they're running those plays is if the ball is thrown behind the line of scrimmage, there's no penalty for illegal man downfield. That's the magic, guys. That's why you got to see where the receiver catches the ball. If that ball gets delivered behind the line of scrimmage, our 320-pound guy can be 15 yards down the field, mauling a cornerback and throwing him into a safety. And that's when the magic happens. There's so many weapons. We talked about at the beginning. You got to have two people watching DeSean Jackson all day. You got to have two people watching Mike Evans. We're running out of people, guys. I don't know if you're doing the math here.
I'm doing the math.
Running out of fucking people.
O.J. Howard over the middle.
You got O.J. Howard
late.
And Cam Brink.
I've been drinking. I'm still measuring. That's a lot of math.
It is good stuff, guys. It really is good stuff. Now,
so who covers Cameron Brate?
Or O.J. Howard?
You can't cover Amber. You can't stop Cameron Brate. You can only hope to contain him.
Yeah. Who covers Adam Humphries?
Dude, listen. This is offensively on paper. This offense looks sick. It looks absolutely sick.
Did Jameis go through all of his progressions a couple times on the
Jaguars
game?
He had so much time. This is the
he
thing
was
about
just
Jameis.
Patting the ball back there.
And this actually, from a coaching perspective, made me a little nervous. I like active feet in the quarterback, not happy feet. It's like boxing. If you ever box, you want to have active feet. You want to be on the balls of your feet. Jameis got so comfortable a couple times that he was flat-footed in the pocket and just kind of looking around. You're not going to be that way all year. Sure. I love you got that much confidence in your line. I love that the line's blocking that well for you, and I'm not afraid that that's going to be a problem because Jameis has amazingly good pocket awareness, which is something that people don't give him enough credit for. He feels pressure. He flushes well. He moves up in the pocket. All the things you can't really train quarterbacks to do well. They have to just do. But the thing is, and we talked about it off air, he's got receivers from one to whether you think there's going to be five or six. I know there's a debate about whether they'll keep six wide receivers or not. Doesn't matter.
So deep position this
year. All of them know if that ball hits my hands, it's on me. Mike Evans, the best receiver, and I love DeSean Jackson, but Mike Evans is the best receiver on this team. Don't get it twisted.
Who's saying he's not?
Well, some people would say DeSean Jackson because of the free agency acquisition. I would never say that. And I love DeSean Jackson. He is not Chad Johnson, and not that there's anything against Chad Johnson, but Chad Johnson could run two routes. DeSean Jackson runs every route. Yeah. But Mike Evans is a goddamn beast.
Yeah, he's Mike Evans is a top five receiver in the NFL.
Top Easily. Three.
Maybe top three.
Top three.
DeSean Jackson.
Julio Jones. Amari Cooper. Antonio Brown. Dez Bryant. Then you go. Mike Evans.
I would take Mike Evans.
I would take him over
Dez
Amari
Bryant.
And Dez.
And Amari.
I would take him over, but I'm going to tell you his numbers won't be.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
And the thing is, one of the things we talked about last year is his yak has been bad. It's always been bad. And I'm torn because I hated Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce for laying down like little girls when they caught the ball. But at the same time, if Mike's they caught the ball. They moved the ball down the field. And so, like, I see it. I want him to Julio Jones somebody. I want him to just Debo someone's ass and throw him on the ground and run for another 15 yards. But then I'm like, Julio gets hurt every year. How about you just catch it? I'm really torn. I'm really kind of torn up here.
Let me ask you guys something since we are talking about the team and I want to bring the mood down a little bit. Kevin Pamphile's a free agent after this year.
They lock him
up. Can't let him go.
You think so?
They lock him up. The same way they did
$10 million a year.
This is the funny part. And Justin,
Because you'll save the money on Dotson, because most likely he'll be gone, I would imagine. I mean, eventually they're going to have to move on from him and find another right tackle. Or Pamphile becomes
your right tackle. He's your right tackle.
This team has shown, and this is the unfun part, sort of. Because we love our players. Yeah. We get attached to them. They become, in many cases, they become friends, right? And everyone at this table can attest to
but
that.
But we also, what's the ultimate goal? We want
them
to win.
We want them to win. Yeah. They're assets, right? I love Dot. He's a good guy. I love that he got his contract when he did, right? At some point, you don't get the contract again. Listen, Vincent Jackson's number being out there without Vincent Jackson hurt me emotionally. I love Vincent Jackson as a human being. I loved him as a player. I don't care if it's a hat or a helmet. I want him as a goddamn Buccaneer. But at some point, it happens to every player, right? It's the team. So, and right now, we've got a hell of a team. And we can be excited about our goddamn punter. Brian Anger throws darts, guys. He's a weapon. You could argue he was an MVP monster on the team last year, right? And he's still doing it in practice.
He's a weapon.
He's an absolute weapon. So, listen, let's do a roundtable here. What are you most excited looking into Cleveland this week?
Cleveland this week is everybody getting out healthy. I'm a little scared of the whole Greg Williams factor. I'm scared of the Greg Williams factor.
Pussy.
Man.
Greg Williams is a punk.
Did you see what happened last week?
Listen, Burfict didn't hurt anybody. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to hurt us, it was Vontae Burfict, who's a dirty piece of shit.
You didn't mention Odell in your top five.
No, I'm talking about.
I don't put him in the top five.
I was talking about what they did to Beckham Jr.'s leg.
That was a totally clean hit.
Right.
In today's NFL, that's a clean hit.
Okay. In yesterday's NFL. In the NFL 40 years ago, it's a clean hit. It's a hit. Listen, his foot was in the ground. The guy went to tackle. He can't hit high. He has to hit low. There's nothing wrong with that. Stop being a bitch. Oh. It's just a clean hit. It sucks to happen to Odell. It sucks to happen to preseason. It's a contact sport. Put your pads on and go play football. I don't understand what all the crying about is.
I just want to get a preseason game healthy.
Well, you know, an easy way to not get hurt is to not play the game.
Yeah.
And Quan Alexander and Mike Evans aren't. So exactly. That's good. Is this what I'm looking forward to most on the field or just at the game in general?
Take both.
It's a podcast.
We can go as long as we want.
I'm looking forward to the pillage. I'm looking forward to the fans coming together. This is our first opportunity, Old School, Keith, Christian, that we get to be inside that stadium for the first time this season, but for the first time united. That's why we're doing this podcast tonight, 2 days before this Thursday night. We're live now, but whenever you're listening to this, we're doing this 2 days before Saturday night because we want to unite this fan base. We want to take back our stadium. We want to take back Ray J, and we want to get in there early, and we want to get this team jacked up, not only for this game, but we want to let them know. We want to send them a message that we're going to be there each and every game, providing them the home field advantage they deserve all season long. It truly, I really think about this. We've all been to preseason games. We all know how boring they can get. Imagine the team coming out onto the field an hour before kickoff, and they see those sections full, 119, 119, 120, 121, all there by their tunnel, and we're chanting their names as they come out. They're going to be jacked up. Imagine they see at kickoff people standing up and swaying and doing that We Ready chant. Imagine, and I want to do this as well, and I didn't mention this yet, but Derek, you know, at halftime, a lot of people leave a preseason game. It doesn't even matter if it's third preseason. They're going home, right?
Yes.
So what if at halftime, instead of going home, we all went back down to that corner of the end zone? And then for the second half of that game, as the stadium is empty, that section of the stadium is
full, always full.
Is full. And cheering and yelling and going nuts in the third and fourth quarter of the game when who knows who is in the game. We don't even know some of the players that are going to be in the game. They're going to be on the streets, but we're cheering them on as if they're our guys, as if they're trying to win us a playoff game. And we're sending a message to the guys on the bench saying, you know what? Once the regular season comes and you're in there, and you're trying to win that game, we're going to be doing the same thing for you. That gives me goosebumps. That's what I'm looking forward to most for Saturday night. Love Try it. And beat that, Christian.
Good luck.
I'm looking forward to Jameis Winston.
Damn you, son of a bitch.
I should have gone last.
What an asshole.
He should have gone last.
That. I'm sorry.
You know, I'll echo what Justin said, obviously. Oh. I'm looking forward.
I'm
not as big as pussy as Keith.
Oh, no injuries. True.
Although that was a good one, Keith. I will give you that. I mean,
here's the thing.
Get out injury free, they're not going to play anyone in the fourth.
We talked earlier about it's a preseason game.
Look,
I don't want to see half my guys getting hurt. I want to see one of my guys getting hurt.
I don't want to see injuries.
Game. You can call me a pussy all you want. I don't want to see
injuries.
Fine.
You can't plan for injuries. It's just a throwaway comment. That's what I'm saying. Are you going to line up and not touch? It's football. There's going to be potential for injuries. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Obviously, I'm on the same page as Justin. The pillage. I'm looking forward to the pillage. And yes, Justin, I'm looking forward to the continued evolution of Jameis Winston. I'm looking forward not only to, you know, the progressions and his accuracy, but not making the bonehead play, not being greedy, taking the sack if he has to.
Yep, smart. Give his guys a chance. Be smart. Make your reads.
You guys haven't seen it. Some of them have. Spoiler, I'm going to talk about Hard Knocks. But, like, Coach Carter ripped into him. He said, listen, you're just better than that. You are better than that.
Spoiler.
Don't be greedy. So just seeing him continue, and I'm not sure, maybe I'll get y'all's opinion on it. I don't think that can be coached out of him. Maybe, maybe not. So
Who gives a shit as long as he's making plays, make more plays, and continued evolution of Jameis.
I'm looking forward to seeing Ryan Bullock say fuck you as he hits people. Oh. And that's about it.
All right, Ryan Bullock makes the team, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. How do you cut that guy? He's going to be a killer on special teams.
I think he makes it on special teams alone, but
I mean, why wouldn't you want him in your linebacker room? And if he has to step in and play, God, I mean, I'd much rather have him step in and play than some of these guys they've thrown out the last couple of years. And one of you made a point about.
I think that's more of a testament to our depth, as we talked about earlier.
Correct.
And we're going to have people like Riley Bolla who do get cut because we have quality.
Nah,
depth.
He's not getting cut.
He's the last linebacker kept behind Darius Glenn.
And one of you said this about the wide receivers. Is, man, look at all the depth we had. Look at what they've had the last couple of years. I mean, it's mind-boggling how they've been able to flip the depth at wide receiver in just one offseason by signing DeSean Jackson and drafting Chris Godwin. This is a team that had to float out Dante Dye the last couple of years to play significant snaps. This is a team who had to float out Russell Shepard, who is a great special teams player, but he had to start at wide receiver because they had zero depth at that position.
Is Jason Light the most important hiring we've had in the last 10 years? I mean, without Jason, we have no
you
Jameis.
You could make the argument,
but
thank you, love it.
Again, we're jumping to conclusions here, and I love Jason Light, and he might be listening to this right now. I love Jason Light. They went 9-7 last year, but they've never been a playoff team under him. He's only been here a couple of years. So rather than jump to conclusions, let's let them just go ahead and continue to build the way they're going. But if they continue to go the way we all think they're going to go, yes, he's the most important hire they've had in probably a decade.
From what we had, and you mentioned it earlier, Mark Dominic, to what Jason Light's done.
No doubt.
Since he's been here in his tenure. Look at the depth on this team, Derek.
It's tremendous. There's no doubt about it. Now, the thing when you're evaluating general managers is always tough because you can't really evaluate ownership. So you don't know what they dealt with from a spend perspective or any of those other things. But I think that you could certainly make a case about how Jason's assembled his staff to evaluate talent. And as we're speaking about talent, let's talk about this game. We do this thing on this podcast, predictive MVPs. So predictive MVPs on offense, predictive MVPs on defense, and then a score. And I'm going to reverse. I'm going to mix the order up and go back to Christian to start. And I'm going to Keith, and then Justin's going to be the end. So predictive MVP on offense, predictive MVP on defense. And then what do you think the score is going to be this week?
MVP on
By the way,
offense.
In the chat room, everyone is saying Nick Folk.
I was going to say, how hard is it to even predict?
Listen, if he makes one field goal, he is going to be a Folk legend inside that stadium.
Didn't he make
Nobody one? Said that yet.
Jason's still folking around over here.
Okay, offense, I'm going to go Godwin gets the start in place of Mike Evans. I'm going to go Godwin.
Defense,
I'm going to go Beckwith.
You're up, Keith, of the Buckaholics.
I mean, we don't even know how much time they're going to be playing, but I'll go with Beckwith on defense. And, I mean, it's hard to really go any farther than Godwin, but let's go ahead with Howard and say Howard gets a significant
play. Oh, my score?
Yep.
42-40.
42-40, a defensive struggle. Yeah. I like it. I assume Buccaneers win.
Yes.
Of course.
All right, Keith, what's your score, brother?
I'll go 17-13 bucks.
I love both ends of the spectrum. All right, Justin, what's your call, brother?
I am going to take defensively Noah Spence. I think the starters are going to play into the second half, and I think Noah Spence is going to get a lot of playing time, and I think he's going to beat good old Joe Thomas.
That's no easy task. That bitch is a beast.
I know, but I just have a funny feeling. So give me Noah Spence on defense, and give me I'm leaning one direction. I'm wondering if I should. Yeah, I'll
the bend.
Give me O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard.
And what's your score?
And I'm going to go 24-23 bucks. Game-winning field goal, Nick Folk.
That's
at the buzzer. And the ultimate MVP in the game, the fans down there in the south end zone, because we're going to be there in the fourth quarter cheering Nick Folk on, and he's going to be carried off the field, and everyone's going to be cheering him as he gets carried into the tunnel.
I love the Rudy moment.
Yes! Yes!
I love the Rudy moment that you just painted.
Folk, you.
And the story writes itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to go with on defense, Lavonte David. The forgotten man will remind people why he's the best linebacker in the NFL.
Whoa, okay.
And I think that includes a turnover. Levante David has quietly, or not so quietly, if you've been paying attention, played his ass off this training camp.
Yeah, he really has.
He looks faster, he looks stronger, and he looks incredibly decisive in this defense. Kwan did, too, until he went out.
Not just camp. He's done good in preseason games as well.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think Levante David on the offensive side of the ball, I am not going to go away from my man Cam Brait because I don't think he can be covered. Not that I don't love O.J. Howard, because I'll tell you what, one thing I do want to throw in here, we've been begging for this for years. Justin, you and I talked about it in your previous lives for a decade. The Bucs now have a tight end that they can chip with legitimately. O.J. Howard ran essentially a chip block, which means he blocks first and then gets out into his route. And he almost broke Noah Spence's ribs, I think. Right? The thing about chip blocks is those defensive ends, if they're making their move, their ribs are exposed. You hit them in the ribs once, they never want to make that move again.
Yeah.
We never had a coach that enforced it. We never had tight ends that did it well. I watched him do it to his teammate today, and Noah Spence kept his arms down the rest of practice, and it was great. So I love O.J. Howard. I love what they're doing, but I got Brait and David, and I've got a Bucks win 38-21. Exciting game. I hope Nick Folk kicks 1,000 field goals, except for he won't. He'll only kick one and a bunch of point afters.
Well, he's going to kick the one at the end of the game to win it.
There you go. And he's going to be carried off in Rudy-esque form.
It's going to be really amazing. Listen, don't want to miss that.
I want to thank everyone who tuned into the podcast live. We had a really large crowd, and actually we had over, I think, 80 people live at one point, which is pretty damn good. I want to thank everyone who came out here.
By the way, I was live on Facebook, and we had another 70 live on Facebook. So, I mean.
Love it. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Pretty awesome.
I only had 17, but the majority of them were injured.
That's what happens when you play. You know, I want to thank Keith Larson of the Buckaholics for coming all the way, literally, guys, all the way from Tallahassee. Probably a 5-hour and 15-minute drive, best case.
Well,
in traffic, right?
It's a rental car, so let's say it was like 3.5.
There you go. Don't tell Enterprise. I want to thank Christian for being here, my man, the captain of the stick carriers, and someone who's really done a great job, I think, of carrying that mantle. And of course, Justin, the commish online, at commish online on Twitter, his Bucks Uncensored podcast. You're dropping yours on Saturday, yeah?
Correct. And you're probably going to hear a few pieces from this podcast on that podcast.
Makes sense, my
friend.
Because
we're uniting.
Listen,
unite podcasts. And it makes my podcast a little easier.
I didn't go live on Facebook because I have Nook Nook's flip phone.
I think we should totally have a measuring contest on your podcast.
Nope.
Nook Nook's flip phone. For anyone who's listening for the first time and doesn't know Nook Nook, find out the legend of Nook Nook. Just tweet about it and people will inform you the legend of Nook Nook. We can neither confirm nor deny that he may be related to Mark Cook, and he might be at Orient Road right now.
Saturday night, 6 o'clock,
South End Zone ticket area.
Ticket plaza area. It doesn't matter if you're a stick carrier or what the buck or buckaholic. We're all in this together. Like, I don't know how.
We can't say it any more clearly.
Like, I don't know how to say, like, okay. You know, we're not separate groups here. We're all Bucks fans. So let's just get there early and go in and just have a great time. Like,
loud as fuck.
It doesn't matter if it's a preseason game or a regular season game. The reason you pay for these games, season tickets, right? I mean, you have to get the preseason games. We might as well make the most out of it.
Shit, I just signed up to start paying for playoffs. So we haven't even gotten there. Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Talking about playoffs?
Talking about playoffs?
All right, guys. Thanks again. We're going to have a couple more beers and get out of here. I'll get this podcast posted directly after that. Let these guys get home safely, and then have a great Friday. And we'll see your asses Saturday night, 6 p.m.,
yes.
South End Zone. Mark and Jenny together. Justin, you and I have to work something out so that we can get back up in the – I can get back up in the club because these guys are making fun of me being a bougie club guy. But fuck
you'll
you guys. I'm
fine.
Fat. We'll get it done. We'll see you guys next week on the – oh, we won't see you next week. We got a game next week on Thursday. So we'll see you video somewhere before that. And listen, if you're going to Miami, let us know. It's a big – there's a big Bucks crowd going to Miami, guys. And we can start the tone – set the tone well.
Are you going? Prepping.
Yes, I am, sir.
So you're going – so I'm going to have a – I'm going to be with Joe Bucks fan doing a away game watch party. So we'll just make sure we coordinate. Hey, if you're in Tampa – we got a big watch party. We'll pack that place. And if you're going to Miami,
make sure
you hook up with Old School, and we'll have it coordinated, man.
It's great,
be
man.
Awesome.
Everyone get together, have some fun, get to know each other. This is really cool how we're getting a chance to get to know more Bucks fans and expand our reach. So we'll see you guys again soon. Get out there to the website, and we'll let you know about the charities as well. So we'll see you at that first tailgate. We're all prepping up for that, just like everyone's prepping up for the first game of the season. Go Bucks, and we are out of here.
Go Bucks.
Peace.
Yeah, yeah,
school, school,
yeah, 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 we're like bugs running, man, I think that's all, folks. My man, Old Man, just shut down another show. Same name, same time, for the past 11 years. Guess what, next week, we gon' be right here.
time. We give it to you straight, don't need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Franco on the rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man Derek, they call him old school. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck.